Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. We appreciate all of you being here. We need you guys to pray for the stream, pray for the servers. Our internet stuff's cutting in and out. Our videos are cutting in and out. But hey, that's part of being live. You guys know we always have stuff randomly happening on the live streams. The devil's a liar. We're going to break through. We're praying once we get started and the connection's going that it's going to be solid. So we're praying. We're believing. I have my new friend Brittany with me. Brittany, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Awesome. Thanks for being on. I've seen you other places before, but I know for sure I recently saw you on Vlad's channel and I was listening to some of your story. I didn't want to listen to the whole thing because I'm like, I want to hear it fresh tonight on my channel. But your testimony is awesome. It's powerful. I believe tonight the Lord's going to use it. And I want all of you that are in the chat right now just to have an expectation for the Lord to move in your life. We're not just on here to talk and to give information. We're believing for the demonstration of the power of God to heal, to deliver. This is such a timely message because our generation is really bound to the industry that Brittany came out of and the industry that we're going to be exposing tonight. There's so many of you struggling with porn addiction, struggling with lust, and we believe tonight that we're going to break, that the Lord's going to break the chains and there's going to be freedom for you tonight. So expect it. But let me give you guys this warning before we really jump in and get started. Viewer discretion is advised. I don't want Brittany to hold back and I'm not going to hold back tonight. So if you have children in the room, probably not appropriate for kids. You're like, well, what age? I don't know. It depends on how mature your kids are. I have a 10-year-old that I probably wouldn't let watch the stream tonight. But if your kids are a little bit older and more mature, if you have teenage kids that are involved in this, that are watching, they need this. They need to get free. They need to hear this. But again, if you have young children, I know there's a lot of young viewers. I just want to warn you, be ready for earmuffs, right? If we start saying something, put your hands over their ears, get ready to mute it, put your headphones in. You can figure it out. But yeah, thank you so much, Brittany, for being on. Super excited to get into your testimony. I guess a great place to start would be just with your upbringing and how we're going to talk about how you got into the industry. But first, let's go with upbringing. Were you raised in church? Kind of how your childhood was.
I did not grow up in church, sadly. I wish that I had a family that went to church. We grew up without God, and you know, God is love. So without God, there's going to be a lack of love in any household without God. So I grew up in just a verbally, emotionally abusive household, and I started looking for love in all of the wrong places. Can you guys hear me? Because I'm freezing.
Yeah, we hear you. You're freezing on the screen, but Lord, help us, help us. But we can hear you.
I know. Come on, Jesus. Okay, the audio will be good for now then, I guess. I grew up in this household and I start searching for love in all the wrong places because I felt so rejected by my family. I, you know, found this guy in high school that I thought was attractive and I basically just chased him down and pursued him until he noticed me. And then we started dating and I gave him my virginity. And after that, he cheated on me with 3 different women. And so I was crushed. Not only was I being rejected at home, but now I was rejected from the guy that, you know, my little 16-year-old heart thought, surely I'm going to marry because I gave him my virginity. And so that's kind of where those seeds were planted in my childhood.
Wow. And I know there's a total change, which this is not a good thing, in the entire adult industry and all that. And now in this generation, there's the OnlyFans thing. There's so many young girls that are turning to OnlyFans because they feel like that's the easiest way to make money. They're going to sell their body. And sadly, social media has made this so accessible for young girls and young guys alike to just get on OnlyFans, download it, start creating content. Do you feel like a lot of these girls, there are some of them that have come out and shared their testimony, but do you feel like rejection and abandonment, maybe lack of a father figure, is it like a big contributing factor into why this whole OnlyFans thing is such a big thing? And really, some people think the porn industry has gone down, but in reality, it's gone up just in a different way now because of OnlyFans and all that. Is that something you think would contribute to this massive growth in the adult industry?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I am, now that I'm on the other side, I share different women's testimonies on my YouTube, and they all have a story of brokenness in their childhood. When I was in the porn industry, I was also always so curious, like, hey, why are you here, right? Because I knew, like, something happened to you, like, you got jacked up, and that's why you're here. And so I would ask them, like, what's your story? And I heard stories from molestation and rape all the way to, you know, I had my parents that would beat me over the head with the Bible, and they always told me that I wasn't good enough for God. So I figured I'd just do whatever I want anyways. And so there was like this level of perfection they were expected to live up to. And then others were just abused and severely taken advantage of and faced a lot of rejection. And so you start to look for love in all the wrong places. Also, young girls get into this because they so desperately want to get away from their household that they're willing to do whatever it takes. It's like OnlyFans is promising me this much money. I can get out of this abusive household if I just go down this path.
And it's sad because so many of them that go down that path don't realize that that path usually ends in anxiety and depression and suicide. There's obviously a major spiritual component that you talk about as well to this entire industry. And if we're just being frank and honest, it's absolutely evil. It's absolutely demonic. This entire industry has infiltrated this generation. And there's so many of you in the chat right now dealing with this, struggling with this lust and with this perversion and addicted to pornography. And the Lord wants to set you free. We really have to, I believe we have to start seeing lust for what it really is. Solomon talks about how this seductive woman, this lust will drag you down to hell. This is one sin the Bible's like, don't even try to fight it, just run from it. Flee from lust because it's so damaging. How do you go from here you're in this abuse, or well, I guess abusive, this guy's cheating on you in high school, break your heart, all this, you have these identity issues. How do you go from that to getting involved into the adult industry? What was the transition to that?
Okay, so it was kind of like I went out to Mexico with some friends after that breakup, and it was the first time that I ever remember getting drunk. And I went to a club across the way, and I was trying to get into the club, and the bouncers were like, oh no, you can't come in here. And in Mexico, when I was growing up, I don't know if the rules have changed, but they would let you get into any adult nightclub with a valid high school ID. So I was like, I have my ID. And they're like, no, you can't come in. And I'm like, well, I just want to dance. I'm not going to drink. I just want to dance. And they're like, oh, you want to dance? Okay. So the bouncer grabs me by the hand and takes me through this nightclub. And I'm looking around. I'm like, oh, I'm in a strip club right now.
Oh, my goodness.
And he puts me behind like three other women that are on the stairwell waiting to get onto the stage. And I just kind of look around at what the other women are doing. And I'm just like, okay, I can do this. You know, I had liquid courage and a broken heart, which is a recipe for disaster, especially at 16 years old, when you don't have, you know, parents that you feel like you can trust to open up to about what you're going through. And your feelings are just kind of, you're forced to shove your feelings down. So I just get up on stage and I do what these women do. And that night there was a seed planted in me because the people in the audience were shouting at me like, you're beautiful. We love you. And they were feeding me everything that I needed to hear at home, because what you don't get at home, you will look for in the outside world. So I was searching in the outside world for affirmation, for validation, for acceptance. And I found it that night in a strip club. So the seed that was sown in me was like, if you take your clothes off, not only are people going to notice you, praise you, validate you, but you're also going to get paid. Because that night on stage, I made like $65. I mean, it's not much, but for a 16-year-old, that was a lot of money to make in like 5 minutes, you know, or less. So after that, didn't go back to the club again. I was only 16 years old at that point. But at 18, I moved to Santa Barbara for a little while to go to a city college. And I started dancing at a strip club there, just to kind of pay my way through school, because working full time and all that was a lot on me. And I remembered that I felt so accepted at that strip club that night. So I started dancing, and was making a decent amount of money. And a couple producers came in one night and were tipping me a lot of money and said, hey, you are going to be famous. Like, we make romance movies. If you're ever interested, give us a call. I was already making more money at the strip club than I would have made in porn. So it wasn't the money that drew me into porn. It was the promise of fame. Because I thought in my head, if I could be famous and enough people knew my name, then somehow I would learn to love myself. Somehow I would hate myself less. And so I called them the next day. I got into, you know, I went and saw their setup, and they put me in hair and makeup, continued to affirm me, and they sent me with an agent. And I was in that industry for a total of 7 years.
Wow, 7 years. And how long ago was all this when you were in that industry?
I got into the industry in 2005 and I left in 2012.
Wow. I have a good friend. I'm guessing you probably know him, Joshua Broom, who similar. You know Joshua? Yeah. And he was on the show before, but he was in that industry. And he described some of just the darkness in the industry. I think people watch, sadly, pornography thinking it's fun, it's glitz, it's glamour. There's teenagers that watch it thinking it's real, and they don't realize the darkness behind the scenes. Can you maybe just share a little bit of how dark really things are behind the scenes, how demonic things really are, maybe what people wouldn't see behind the industry? I would just, if we can get one person tonight to see this for what it really is, to see that this is evil, to see that this is wrong, to see that this is complete darkness, I think that's a major win, because I think a lot of people watching don't realize that they are supporting, let's, for example, sex trafficking by watching pornography. They're supporting abuse oftentimes, and I know we're not going to try to monetize tonight because we already know we're going to get restricted for everything we've been saying, but they're encouraging, you know, a lot of rape happens on porn sets. People don't realize that. And so what are some of the dark things that people maybe don't know about that goes on behind the scenes in the porn industry?
It is. It's a really, I mean, now that I look back at my time in the industry, I mean, there's times where I cry. Like, when I was 18 years old, they would put me in pigtails and schoolgirl outfits, and they would put me in this plastic costume jewelry that, and then they'd have me say things like, I'm barely 18. Oh. And I got to a point in my career where I said, I can't do this anymore. It was a matter of months. I'm like, and I told my agent, do you realize this stuff is encouraging pedophilia? And I wasn't a woman of conviction, but I think because of my childhood, I have such a big heart for children. And so when I would do those kinds of scenes, I would feel disgusted afterwards. They put you with an old man. And I'm like, this is dark. This is demonic. And so like people that watch pornography, what they don't realize is it is a gateway drug. If you watch porn, it does the exact same thing. It releases the same amount of dopamine as doing a line of cocaine, right? And you know, if anybody's used drugs like I have, you know that you use, and then eventually you keep chasing that high, and you have to use more and more and more just to get that same high. Pornography does the same exact thing. If you are watching pornography, the, you know, quote unquote, I say it with air quotes, morally acceptable scenes between a husband and wife, those aren't going to fill you forever. And then eventually you're going to look at the 18-year-olds with the old men, and then that's not going to fill you. And then what's next? I saw a documentary of a man that had 6,000 images. He started off watching, you know, what he thought was morally acceptable porn, went into the 18-year-olds, went into the dark web, and then had 6,000 images of children on his laptop. And nobody watches porn thinking, I'm going to go and look at little children. You don't know, but that's where it could lead you. I've also seen women on set where, you know, people say, oh, it's fine. This is her choice. She's doing this. Well, for the last 3.5 years that I was in the business, I had a pimp. I didn't choose to be there the last 3.5 years. I had actually quit at one point and then got put back into the business. And then I've also seen women, like, while they're doing sexual scenes on camera, that they just start crying, like as if it brought up a traumatic moment from their childhood. And the director looks around at the producer like, what do I do? Should I cut the scene? No, just keep going. Like, and it's so sad, like just the darkness that's in the industry and the things that people that are watching it that they don't see, because, you know, they're not going to show you the woman crying. They're going to cut that part out, you know? And then probably 90% or more of performers in the industry are using drugs or alcohol. Some of the biggest performers that people might recognize by name have recently died of overdose and suicide. Others, it's a really dark industry. I have lost at least 15 people that I was very close to in the industry. And I know about 40 people that have died since I was in the industry.
That is so sad. And guys, I just want to reiterate something we said earlier is when you are participating and watching pornography, you are supporting this. You are supporting the stuff that she's talking about. You're supporting the darkness, the perversion. So think about that. When you continue to indulge in this, when you continue to go down this road, when you continue to participate in this drug that is called pornography, I just want you to remember that you are supporting this abuse, you're supporting this addiction, and you're supporting ultimately the darkness. I'm going to try to fix really quick, Brittany, the server. Let's see if we can just get it going here. Right when you stop
Looks
talking,
like
now, right when you stopped talking, that entire time you were talking, your video was frozen. And then maybe it's going to be okay. I'll try to fix it, I guess, next time as we're going. It's working now, clear here. I wanted to ask this as well. What type of, I know you talked about drug addiction. Is this something, did you deal with drug addiction when you were in the industry? I haven't heard your full testimony. Was this something that you needed to cope, or talk to us a little bit about that side of it, that side of the darkness?